Welcome to Exploring Bible Prophecy with our teacher, Steve Butler. You know, when you neglect studying prophecy, you neglect a major portion of God's Word to mankind. That's why Steve has begun a series, Why Explore Bible Prophecy. We encourage you to have your Bibles open and follow along with Steve. If you would like a study guide to go along with the series, you can find it free of charge online at whcbradio.org. Let's open up the Word together and explore Bible prophecy.
In our last program, we started our series entitled Why Explore Bible Prophecy. And we started in point number one, and we got through the first two of four sets of verses that I wanted to bring to your attention, dealing with the point in number one, and it says about one-third of the Bible is prophecy. If we neglect prophecy, you neglect a major portion of God's Word to mankind. And if you were with us in yesterday's program, you remember that we had a visualization where we put our hand in the Bible. Obviously, you'd have to have a hard copy of the Bible to do this for the visualization. But we found the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, which is the last of the major writings. And then right after that, starting with Hosea, you have the minor prophets that take us all the way to the end of the Old Testament, ending up with Malachi. We put our hand at Daniel, and then we put our other hand, our right hand, at the end of Revelation. So that'd be Revelation chapter 22. And we took a visual look at that to realize that that is approximately 30% of the Bible, 30% of the Bible. And that represents prophecy, either prophecy that has been fulfilled in the past, or prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled. And to ignore the study of prophecy means that you would have to ignore 30% of the Bible. And I don't want to stand before Jesus at the Bema Seat judgment, and of course that's the judgment following the rapture, where we will not be judged for our sin, but we will be judged for what we did on this earth with the gifts that we receive from the Holy Spirit to be about the Lord's work, what we did with that. And I don't want to explain to him why I had no interest in Bible prophecy. So I hope you will agree with me in that regard. Okay, if you, again, are joining us today for the first time, I would highly, highly suggest that you go to this radio station's website, which is whcbradio.org. And when you get to the website, look for Exploring Bible Prophecy, which is the name of this teaching ministry here at the radio station. Look for that title, and you will find worksheets that cover what we are currently working on here on a daily basis through the radio station. So the one we're working on right now is Why Explore Bible Prophecy, and there are 13 points that we have listed on those on the worksheets. And at each of those points, we have the Bible scriptures that I have put together to help make the point to address them. So that's where we are today. And I highly suggest that you go there and get a copy, because we get into so many scriptures that you might get lost unless you're writing them down rapidly, if you have an interest in doing that. So let's pick up where we were in our last program, and that's at point number one. And as I said, we visually looked at how much of the Bible would be neglected if you are not studying Bible prophecy. And then we went through 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we went to Isaiah 46. You recall in 2 Peter chapter 1 that Peter is saying, because of his experience that he had along with James and John, the two of the 12 apostles, were with Peter there when Jesus was transfigured before them to give them a picture of what he would look like in his kingdom, in his glorified body, his eternal body. And he had standing with him Moses and Elijah, two of the most revered figures in Old Testament history, revered particularly by the Israelites. And of course, we have to remember this is all about Israel here, because everybody present on the Mount of Transfiguration were Israelites. And the Israelites had come over a period of centuries to a point where they were really idolizing, if you want, will, almost worshiping who Moses was and Elijah as the bringer of the law and a key prophet among the Old Testament saints. And the a key point of having the Mount of Transfiguration come to pass and having key apostles witnesses, both visually and audibly, was so that we would have confidence that what God had said throughout the Old Testament in terms of prophecy is true. Because Peter said, now that I have seen it with my own eyes, now that I have heard God speak audibly, saying, this is my son, referring to Jesus, obviously, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to him. And this is something that God said all the way back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, as you might recall, when he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. There, God was making the distinction between John the Baptist and Jesus, that John was the forerunner, the messenger prophesied in the Old Testament that would come before Jesus would arrive and to announce his arrival and tell the people who he was and why he was there. But it was to distinguish between John the Baptist and Jesus so that they would not follow John, but they would follow Jesus, God's only son, his chosen son, in whom he's well pleased. And he says, listen to him. And of course, that's a reference almost verbatim back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, which was written 1,400 years before Jesus walked the earth. So just amazing prophecies. And then in Isaiah 46, one of the great statements in all of the Bible by God saying, I tell you the end of all things. So that's all inclusive, all of history, all of the future. I tell you the end of all things from the beginning. And then he makes a key point about how he will see that it is complete. As a matter of fact, just to make sure that I don't misstate that, let me go specifically there and read that very quickly by way of review, because to me it's so important that we understand this. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. And then in verse 11, at the end of verse 11, it says, truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. So there in those very short few verses in Isaiah 46, the Creator God of the universe is telling all of us that take the time to read it, and particularly those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he is saying that I have planned out everything from creation to eternity, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I have planned it all out, and I want you to know it. I want you to have confidence that I am going to bring it about. So now what I'd like to do today is to go to the next verse in point number one, and it's another one of those amazing, it's just one verse, but it is so packed with truth, and it's so packed with information that should give you confidence and comfort in God's prophetic word. So let's go to Amos chapter 3. Now, Amos is one of the minor prophets, and they call them the minor prophets simply because they're, relatively speaking, in size, smaller than most of the other books, such as Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah and so forth. In fact, Jeremiah, one of the prophets that was sent to the Babylonians, or excuse me, sent to the Israelites during the Babylonian captivity, is actually, by word count, the longest book in the Bible. And then we come to Amos, which is one of the shorter books in the Bible. So if you find Ezekiel in your Old Testament, and then Daniel, and then right after Daniel, going to the right, you'll find Hosea. You'll find Hosea, and then the next one is Joel, Very short book, but boy, talk about packed with prophecy. We will be visiting Joel a lot in our series of exploring Bible prophecy programs. And then finally, Amos, the next book. And we want to go to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, you see that on your worksheet. And we want to go to verse 7. Listen to this, how full of good information this is. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Let me read that one more time. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. It should be obvious what he's saying here, that God hides nothing. But what he wants us to know, which is everything about his plans, he reveals it to his prophets. Now, who were the prophets? These were the men that God sent to be messengers to the people before the Bible was written out. So they were the ones that were bringing God's truth, primarily in the Old Testament and also in the first century of the New Testament, before the Bible, all 66 books, were completed. So he wanted the people to know what his plans were, and he revealed them to the prophets. Now, today, we don't have prophets, as I explained in our first program to introduce this ministry. We don't have prophets today in the sense of people who tell the future. The prophets today are forth-tellers of what's already been given to us. So they have been gifted by the Holy Spirit, these prophets of today have been gifted by the Holy Spirit to explain God's plans in a way that encourages us, strengthens us, educates us, and trains us in God's Word. And so therefore, another way to say Amos chapter 3, verse 7 is, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel through his completed word, the Bible. So this, I don't know about you, but that verse just excites me. It's one of those things that's burned in my memory, if you will, with recall. It's the same thing as Isaiah 46, because in those few short verses in those two books, we have the greatest expression of God's love for us, that I have created you, I've created a world to put you in, and I want nothing more than to have a relationship with you through my Son, Jesus Christ. And if you will accept that relationship, if you will accept my Son as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know my secret counsel. The world doesn't understand it, and you can certainly understand with all the crazy forecasts and prognostications about what the world is going to look like and what's going to happen in the future. These are people who do not know the secret counsel of God. But to us who know him through his Son, they're not a secret. He has laid them all out, and that's what we want to try and uncover piece by piece through a methodical process of studying his word, so that we can have that peace and that joy that only comes through him about knowing the future. All right, so that's Amos chapter 3, verse 7. And now let's look at the last verse that I have. And if you have more verses that you think apply to this point number one, or really to any of the points that we're going to cover here in these 13 points of this first series here at Exploring Bible Prophecy, by golly, send them in and we will review those and we will talk about them. We don't want to ignore anything unless, of course, it's crazy and its only intent is to cause trouble and conflict. We'll certainly look at that. But if it's an honest question, we don't want to ignore anything here at Exploring Bible Prophecy. Okay, so let's go to the very end of our Bible. We were in Amos towards the end of the Old Testament, so we get into the New and run all the way to the end, and we want to go to the last... the last chapter of the last book. The last chapter of the last book. And it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. And he said to me, so this is the Spirit talking to John the Revelator, John who wrote the Gospel of John, the same John who wrote John 1, 2, and 3, is also the one who wrote Revelation. So after Paul, he's the most prolific writer of the New Testament. And in verse 10 of chapter 22 of Revelation, he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." So what he's basically saying is, do not seal up, do not hide, do not conceal what I have given you, John, about things to come. And that's basically what Revelation is about, things yet to come. Do not seal them up, because it's prophecy and it is the word of God, and I have given it for the edification of the people who are living on the earth, particularly to those who are my children that have come to me through the blood of Jesus Christ and believe in him as my son and their Lord and Savior. So do not seal this up. Make it available, because if we ignore it, we ignore a third of God's word to us, and it's a portion of God's word that has been given to us to comfort us and to encourage us as we see the time drawing near, because things are getting worse and worse on the earth. But in terms of God's plan, this is all coming together if we see it from his perspective. All right. Well, let's move into point number two then on our worksheet. And again, this is the worksheet that you can find at whcbradio.org and look for Exploring Bible Prophecy. And this particular worksheet is entitled, Why Explore Bible Prophecy? We're wanting to set the rationale behind the purpose of the this teaching ministry here at WHCB, and then we will get into some specifics as we get into the 30 points of end time events that are about to unfold, and go through those chronologically, taking us all the way to the end of Revelation 22, which is eternity. I'm excited about getting into those. But let's continue in this series of justifying the study of Bible prophecy, and look at number two. The scriptures cannot be correctly understood, or as the King James version of the Bible says, rightly divided, if the prophetic sections are ignored. So these prophetic sections make up about 30% of the Bible. So if we ignore them, we can't correctly understand really the flow of the Bible. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if we're in Revelation, where we just finished up in point number one, and go back to the left, you'll find the big book of Hebrews, and then Philemon, and then you'll get to Timothy. You'll get to Timothy. If you've gone to Thessalonians, you've gone just a little too far. So back up in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 15. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So accurately handling the word of truth, the King James Version says rightly dividing the truth. And you may ask yourself, why does it say rightly dividing? Why does truth need to be divided? Well, we want to get into that in our next program, but we want to now take a moment in our teaching ministry to move over to a Q&A session, which we always do at the end of each of our teaching programs. And we want to pick up in a question that we actually started two programs ago, and this started with a question from Ron in Kingsport: why doesn't the church have to experience the tribulation period like everyone else on the earth? And very quickly, we went to Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 to 17, to show you the wrath that comes on the earth in the first half, the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. And then we went to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, to show you the scriptural proof of the wrath that comes in the second half of the seven-year tribulation. So the point being that you have wrath through the entire tribulation. Then we went to just a general statement that from Revelation 4, which is the beginning of the description that leads into the tribulation period, all the way up until Revelation 19, chapter 19 of Revelation, where Jesus comes back at his second coming to wrap up the 7 years of tribulation. Nowhere between Revelation 4 and Revelation 19 do we find any reference to the church. The references are always to those dwelling on the earth. So then we went to several verses in 1 Thessalonians, in Romans 5, in Revelation 3 and 6. And then in our last program, we talked about John 16. Well, actually, let's go back up to Revelation 3:10. All of those prior verses had to do with the fact that we are not going to experience the tribulation wrath that the earth dwellers will, simply because the church will not be on the earth. It will have been taken off the earth through what is called the rapture, and we'll talk about that as we move along. Taken off the earth so that we will not experience it. And it says that we will be rescued from the wrath, that we will be protected from the wrath, and that's a promise of God to those who love him through his son, Jesus Christ. But then the point we started to talk about in our last program here at Exploring Bible Prophecy, we found in John 16 and verse 33, John 16, 33. So let's go there to pick up where we left off, talking about the tribulations and the persecution that the church goes through while they're living here on the earth before the tribulation ever starts. It's tribulation and persecutions that come to us simply because we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that belief is what brings the persecution, because the persecution comes from an unbelieving world, a world that refuses to accept the good news of Jesus Christ. So in John 16, which is the last of the four Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we go to John chapter 16 and verse 33, and this is where we left off last week. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." So he's saying that through your relationship with me, you can have peace even while you're in the world, in your fleshly body, because you're being tormented, you're being mistreated, spoken ill of, whatever, by those who do not understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, that do not understand the love of God, or have, for some reason or another, have just misinterpreted what the scriptures say. And through all of that, they persecute the church. And we've certainly seen the persecution of the church over the last 2,000 years of its existence since that first Pentecost. So now let's move on. Let's look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. So if you're in John, it's the next book to the right, the Acts of the Apostles, after Jesus was gloriously resurrected and taken off the earth after his 40 days, where he actually walked around and made himself visible in his glorified body to the believers before he went back to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back for his bride, the church. I am excited about that. So in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it says, "Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." So it says that as a Christian, you will experience tribulations, and I call those lowercase t tribulations, as opposed to the uppercase T, real tribulation, which is the 7 years of wrath on the earth after the church is removed. So we will experience that. You can count on it. And we made the point last time that if you're not experiencing any tribulation, if you're not experiencing any problems from the unbelieving world, then you need to double check your faith and make sure that you're not part of the unbelieving world. So now let's move into 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you move to the right in your Bible, you'll find Romans and then Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And then you find the writings of Paul in prison there, Galatians, or actually there's Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then you get the Thessalonians, the longest T word, and then go to the next shortest T word, Timothy. And the reason I'm saying the short words is because you have the long one, Thessalonians, the middle one, Timothy, and the short one is Titus. And they're all in order there, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. So go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 as we thumb through our pages. I love to hear that sound. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, and it says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Let me read that again. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, in our question, answering our question from Ron. "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Now, this is not a threat. This is a promise that it's proof for you as a Christian on the earth that you are the Lord's, that you belong to God through Jesus Christ, because he said, if you believe in me, you will be persecuted, but I will give you peace throughout eternity for that belief and for living through that persecution. What a wonderful promise that is that we have. Remember, if we don't talk again, I'll be seeing you in the air.
If you have a question for our teachers, be sure to submit it online at whcbradio.org. And remember, our special offer this month at WHCB is the Home Defense DVD from the biblically based Consider the Ant instructional series. For your offering of $25 or more, we'll be happy to make this DVD available to you. For more information, just call 878-6279. That's 423-878-6279 and ask for this month's offer. Exploring Bible Prophecy is a production of WHCB Radio. You can learn more by visiting whcbradio.org.